Hey everybody, Shane here to tell you about my friend's Music Record Shop. Check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. This Friday, National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, they got new records from Sturgill Simpson, Al Green, Joey Badass, Between the Buried and Me, Primus Clutch. All those are in pink vinyl for National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Also new records for Eagles of Death Metal, Cheap Trick, Paul McCartney, and more. So go down and get yourself some new records. Every Friday is a listening party. 10% off any purchase. New music all day. Complimentary beer from Four Hands Brewery. Also come down this Saturday, October 3rd. Rock Paper Podcast presents Local Music Showcase. This month we're featuring Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals and Delta Soul Revival. That's 2-4, October 3rd, in the Music Record Shop. Live in-store performance. So come see us. Check out Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in tonight to the Rock Paper Podcast. We are Divide the Empire.
This is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says.
Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, hanging out with the guys of Divide the Empire.
Boo!
Yes! How you doing, man?
Hello. Hey. Hey.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming out.
I guess probably be good to go around the room and everybody say hi and introduce yourself. So, yeah, if you'd like.
I'm Joe Burrow. I play guitar.
Keith Thurnow, I play drums.
You do?
I do.
Randy Shanks, I vocals and guitar.
I'm Glenn on bass.
All right. Thanks for inviting me over, guys.
Our top secret location.
Yeah, the Bat Cave.
Yeah, it's a neat little practice spot. I was jamming the record and drinking my Surge. And, I was really digging this record, guys. I like quite a bit of it. I was telling Joe, I believe I met you guys, a while back. I don't know if all you guys were, you know, if you guys had any lineup changes then or,
but. Nope.
But it was Ice House and it was, Still Line, and Molehill.
Yep. That was the night.
Yeah.
The ice storm.
I was there.
I don't remember that being one of our better shows. I don't remember it being terrible, but it wasn't one of my favorites, that's for sure.
Well, it's kind of a weird place. I mean, it's a nice spot. It's just like, I don't know, strange. Like, it's hard to get a good crowd in there some nights. And it was strange that they put like that kind of bill together in there because a lot of times it was like, you know, one band for 4 hours kind of deal, acoustic duo kind of stuff. But
the old sound guy was pissed because he's used to cover bands coming in. He has to sound check once.
The sound wasn't very good, if I remember. But that's that happens in a lot of those places, you know. Yeah, yeah. You have your nights, you know, and that I think that's some of the joy, though, because you never know. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
You could be playing anywhere, and there could be somebody great out there. And
Molehill killed it that night.
Yeah, Molehill did a great job. Yeah,
they're doing great right now.
That's when you can't blame the sound system. You know? Like, damn it, they sounded really good.
They killed it.
Yeah, well, that's why you practice.
They had some cool lights, too.
I remember you guys had gray koozies, which I still have at the house.
Cool.
So, nice. That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, it was pretty long ago. I don't know how long ago,
like
but
that.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, two or three, anyways. Yeah. It was wintertime. I remember that because Molehill drove down from Chicago in the ice storm.
Yeah.
They made it just in time.
Yeah.
So I was excited because that's right on my way. I live out there in Wentzville, so to get a, you know, get a cool rock show like that in town is very rare. So
yeah, I think that was the first time we had went that direction.
Well, that was the first time I believe they had done an original.
Yeah, because I didn't think Wentzville was really known. They didn't really have a lot of venues, right? I mean,
no,
they don't do. I tried getting shows. I mean, most of the time, most of our luck came from Soulard and Del Mar. You know, where all the venues kind of were.
Well, for years ago, we used to have the pit out there, there was a lot of, like, you know, high school bands would come in there and jam and stuff, and, like, you know, it was cool to get a place for those guys to play.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, like, those places are needed. We had to have where we were from, too.
So. Right. I was excited to hear about Mikey's Poorhouse starting to do original shows and stuff now.
Yeah.
Out in Wright City.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I've kept up with the Maiden Waves.
They had they had somebody great last
week. Was that Kip? Who's it? Yeah. This part? Yeah.
Ice House is no more. It's now the second different name since then.
But, it changed names right after we did that show, so hopefully.
That was our fault.
We're so sorry.
It's called the Firehouse, though?
Yeah. No, it was like a Texas smokehouse thing for a minute. And then now it's Highway 40 Brews, and they got like 40 beers on tap over there. And,
it won't be too long before I have my. It won't
it's
be too
the
long.
Best location.
No, it isn't. It was kind of weird, like in a strip mall type thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have my own venue soon, though. It's gonna be called Skeeters. It's all gonna be served. Flat chested chicks will be serving you, dressed pretty nice. Need an answer to Hooters, you know? I don't like this monopoly.
I thought you were calling it Peters.
No. Peters will be on the other side of the road.
Okay, in the alley.
Yeah, they're different down in Washington Park. I could probably get a Peters going there.
Peters and Skeeters.
Yeah. Peters on one side, Skeeters on the other. That's how that works, you know. That way couples can come. You're a fucking genius, Jill, let me tell you, you know.
See.
I just won 10% since it happened on my show.
Yeah, and I agree that you should have some sponsorship of this, you know.
The show brought to you by
Skeeters and Peters. Go in now, you get 50% off.
Yeah.
But of which side? That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a goal of mine someday to have my own venue. That's I've talked about it too on the show, but I'd love to get to a point where I could start doing like a live version of this show, like, you know, start bringing more showcases and stuff on where, you know, bands have been on the show and put some cool lineups together and have some fun. And
we'll
just let us know when you get that, and we'll have Randy bring the Skeeters girls.
Yeah, right. Bring out some Skeeter girls and have a good time. Let's talk about the record. Got excited. You guys got a big party coming up. October 10th.
October 10th.
That pops $7.
$7.
Get you in.
Only
great lineup, too.
Yeah, I was watching those videos you guys were making. That was
We just did one last night? Or Thursday?
Yeah.
He liked the one with the meat poster.
Do
with the meat. That's Phil Shankerton. That's a little character that I've created.
Yeah.
To help do our promos, you know. Yeah. Hey, all it takes is a cheap suit of some form. I have some 50s glasses and a bunch of different hats. And I had a little bit longer hair, and I'd let it go a little Kramer and then do those videos.
Yeah.
You know, 8 months ago or something like that. They're fun, you know. It's amazing what you can do with just your phone, you know.
Sure.
So just trying to come up with some different ways to promote. You know, it's hard to get people to come out.
All
you know,
needs a phone and a Goodwill nearby.
So we had, you know, well, but it really is some planning that go into these videos. I mean, it might take, you know, a couple takes. And I don't want it to look fake. I want it to be sincere. So, yeah. I mean, it really is genuine. I got a lot of the ones I've done without him. That was the first one we've done together, right? I do the sticky notes all over, all sorts of shit. I got sticky notes everywhere. It looks like I got a teleprompter, you know. Just trying to remember everybody to talk about, but still be kind of funny, you know. But, yeah, that one was golden. That piece, I couldn't have helped. I was building this plexiglass thing to go around his drum kit in our studio. All
right.
And I had a big piece of plexiglass left. And I was like, man, I'm going to put this on my... Well, we tried a couple different things, and then I was like, I'll put this on the chair, put the camera underneath it. And the goal was, I didn't think anybody'd catch it, that there was that piece of plexiglass. So I cleaned it real good with some glass cleaner, tried to make it look like, you know, we were just standing, you know, you were just up viewing us.
Saw Keith's Echo Tray shirt.
Yeah.
I was waiting for an upskirt.
Yeah. But then throwing them CDs down, and then still trying, off to the left of me, I had all the bands written down, things that I just need to remember, you know, because when you get in the moment, you're like, I'm not remembering any of the plugs that I'm supposed to be doing, you know. But yeah, I think the face smashing thing, I mean, it was all impromptu at the very end, but the face smashing thing and then him moving them CDs and making them faces, it really made the end of that video.
Yeah. But,
you know, I just thought it was great.
The plexiglass was cool because it looks like you're like on the like watching on my phone. And it looks like you're on my screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Your face is sticking in there.
Yeah, and the side we were going through different noises because I don't know if you've ever watched any older videos, but I did one that had where it was constant fart noises, and it's really hard to make a video and keep a real straight face. And I was real straight face with like a news reporter microphone, trying to give this whole thing and not laugh while these farts, crazy farts, going on behind me. You know. So the siren, when my wife's upstairs trying to sleep, and I've got the stereo cranked with the siren going, and we did that video, what, three times?
Yeah.
And finally she's like, what are you doing down there? And I was like, you'll see it on Facebook.
That would have been ideal if she would have just come to the top of the stairs and started screaming at you.
Oh, it would be, like if it was like a mom deal, yeah. Yeah. No, she's not like that. I married well. She'll wait instead, and she'll tell me when we're laying in bed, you know, I was trying to sleep. Then you guys are down there making one that's stupid. It's going to be on Facebook. Stupid. Acting stupid.
I think for these videos, I think we got to thank Jim Farney.
Yeah, yeah. I want to put shots out. He's dead, though. But thank you.
I know he is.
Yeah. Send shout outs to Jim Varney, Ernest P. Worrell. Yeah. He's the one who
inspired.
He's inspired me my whole life to do goofy shit.
Yeah. We did one.
A while
back with my buddy Chris, who I started the show with, I had an idea to do a video for the commercial, and we did a Shane's World, and because I had like a blonde wig and and black wig, and we put them on, and so, and Chris is blonde, so it worked out that he was Garth and I was Wayne, and then. Yeah, my buddy Jimmy helped shoot it, and I don't know. It's really bad, but I think that's part of the beauty of it.
It's
supposed to be cheesy, but we had a lot of fun doing it.
Nobody and how else are you going to learn how to do it, you know, right. And make it right unless you do it, you know?
Sure.
Just throw yourself out there.
Yeah, I wish I could have a little more time to do more fun videos, but it's like I've been really just trying to work on the show, putting out content, but it'd be fun to get... to do more of that stuff, but...
Everybody takes themselves so damn serious.
Yeah.
You know, in the music scene. I mean, we do, everybody's so...
The music's serious, but us as people...
I mean, there's a business side to it, but I mean, you know what? It's music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's got to be... I mean, to me, it's got to be a way to just help keep it alive. I mean, everybody's got such a... There's such a stigma in every kind of music genre. You have metal, everybody's all leather and tattoos and, you know... It doesn't have to be that way. Like, I like metal, and I don't have a nail sticking out of my chin. You can be whatever kind of individual.
Yeah, don't roll it out.
Yeah, you can be whatever kind of individual that you want. I think that's where the mindset of people needs to kind of go. You know, I don't have to... Like, we were just talking about, I won't buy this fucking leather jacket because I don't own a Harley, you know? So I don't want... And I feel like, same way, like, I haven't watched a Cardinals game since they won the 2007... Whichever one that dude now got the best vagina ever. What was that dude's name? Dude made that kick-ass catch, 2007 or 8.
Jim Edmonds?
No, the one the whole game, the World Series, the last time.
I don't know.
I had never watched a baseball game until then. I've been to baseball games. People have given me tickets. I've seen them. I can't remember. David Freese.
That's it.
David Freese won. And anyway, a buddy of mine got me into it for the end of that season when they, you know, won that thing or whatever. And I
Super Bowl.
The next day, no, I know that it's not the Super Bowl. It's the World Series. Anyway, and I know that's hockey. Just because I don't like... Anyway, so the next day I went out and I bought one of these, the dark out hats, you know. I was like, we'll follow us fails. We'll just represent in St. Louis. Do you know how many people stop you to ask you about the game as soon as you wear any kind of...
Yeah.
You know, I don't even want to own anything that's of some other caliber because somebody wants to ask you about it afterwards. Oh, you got a Harley shirt, man. What kind of bike you ride?
Yeah. Luckily, I wear a lot of Harley shirts because I love the way they fit me. But nobody ever asked me about my bike, so I don't have a bike, so
yeah, yeah.
I'm glad they don't. But I
would confuse them, wear all Harley stuff, yeah. And ride like a little Kawasaki or something, right. Or one of them little crotch rockets. Yeah. You know,
I would love to see you riding. A little bit more.
No, that's the other thing. I used to have one. You know, the little pocket rockets? I used to put on a headband, a bandana, and wait till bikers were coming down the street. And I'd go pull up next to him, and this little tiny thing, 250-pound dude, you know, be like, lovely day for a ride, you know, and just to see what kind of... And this was way before GoPro, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Joni wants us to get a bike, and I told her, I said, we'll get a bike with a sidecar. Except I'm riding in the sidecar.
No, Dumb and Dumber.
We'll give me a Bon Jovi white jacket with tassels. Yeah. Things. We're going to pull up to bike week. Hi, guys.
We got room for one more.
We got
hop on in. Yeah, hop on in.
Carry my little schnoodle on my lap. Yeah. Awesome.
All right.
What?
He's going to do it.
He's going to do it. What are you going to do?
No. So you said you liked the record.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for digging that record. We recorded it right here in St. Louis, in Bridgeton, pretty much. I don't know what the hell it is. Firebrand Recording Studios.
Westport.
Brian
Greater
Sheffer.
Westport. Yeah.
Brian region. Sheffer did an incredible job. It was our first experience
Firebrand
with him.
Firebrand Studios.
Yeah, I said that. And
it was mastered at Anthem Studios by Rob Schletting.
Yeah. This was the first, like, real pro, I mean, the first record that we did. I mean, we did half and half because we ran out of money, just like every other band, you know.
Sure.
And we really wanted to put out a product. So, you know, we paid the price. I mean, people have loved it, but us as musicians, we've been like, we could have did way better.
Yeah.
I guess you get lucky. I mean, we put out that record 3 years ago, and people still dig a lot of the songs off of it. And, you know, the follow-up, we really wanted to go night and day difference, so we did. And we're already going back in like January or February to start another one because this is just volume one.
Yeah. Because we're sick of listening to this one
already. Yeah. Yeah. But actually, we already had all the other songs written, almost all the songs written for the next two that we're going in to do. We already have some of them recorded. So, but we're just going to keep the train moving. We're not going to put a same kind of, like what we did before. It was 3 years before we came out with another CD. It was us trying to find the right place to go, the right
winters.
Songs. Yeah. Yeah, three winters, exactly.
Yeah. I kind of figured that's what the three winters was in reference to. Took a while to...
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it, for sure.
I mean, if we could have done it in probably a week... You know, if the funding would have been
sure.
there,
you know,
and time frame. We all work very different.
Every dime that we make selling shirts, CDs, and everything goes back into doing that. You know,
yeah.
But I think you're on the right path with the right mentality with the going right back into the studio because of what you know. I've talked a lot about it before with other bands, and like you just kind of gotta like constantly just keep hitting them with fresh material. Nobody's buying albums and stuff, so it's better off to just keep hitting them with fresh singles and stuff and saying, hey, here's what we're up to now, and listen to this and buy it on iTunes for $1 or whatever and that kind of stuff.
Our
website, actually.
Yeah,
brand
new
to get that. Yeah, you can get there directly to your bank account.
Yeah.
Yes.
That
was our issue because we had a lot of streams and a lot of sales on the first one, and I think at one point we made $11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not so much that we want the money or personally, but I mean, that's what's going to
pay for the next album.
Pay for the next
album. Yeah. You know? So this one, as of right now, we're going to do it to where you could physically buy it and then you can get it from our website as well. I'm not saying that we're holding off on all the other ones, but I kind of feel like I am. You know, just because I feel like they're all going to get you. No matter, they're not going to give us anything, and we're going to give them our music. So,
you sell a 99-cent song, and by the time you get your money from it, it's 0.009.
Which almost makes it, because now, places like Spotify and iTunes, they tell you $50 a year, and we'll put your stuff up here, but yet they're not going to help promote it, you know. I mean, it's just on their website, and like people can go buy it. What's great about having your own website with that is that you can just sell it yourself. And if your fans are really your fans, wouldn't they rather buy it from directly you than go through this middleman?
Yeah. And we'll keep making it. We paid the last album out of our pocket with some gigs that we did.
Yeah,
but we work, and we'll still keep making them. But it would be nice if when it gets to a point where it pays for itself.
Sure.
You know, that's a nice spot to be in.
The only reason we really stuck with still doing a CD at all, a physical CD, is because when we go to shows, you know, you got to hand them something.
Yeah, I mean, I love it though. I'm always buying a physical product. I'm not.
Yeah, me too.
I don't do the digital stuff. I'll buy the physical CD and I'll put it on my computer and then I'll put it on my iPod or whatever.
But you still like having a disc.
Sure,
yeah.
I got lots of discs that I've bought at Pops and seen all these shows. I got lots of them at home. They're on my computer.
I feel
like you do.
Well, but just because the new age people are into more having it on some form of device doesn't mean that though. I mean, look at how many people that there are that still collect and love records. And so, I mean, there will always be a group that wants CDs.
Yeah.
I think the deal is that we'll never pump out 1,000 units. So we'll probably only buy 300 CDs or 200 CDs of each one, and then if those sell, we'll order more. But never getting stuck with a big Tupperware box of records again. You know?
And if they go to the website, it's going to make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
For
both. I do feel like, I know...
What's the name of the website?
DivideTheEmpire.com.
DivideTheEmpire.com.
Yeah, pretty easy.
DivideTheEmpire.com.
I do feel like Spotify is a pretty powerful tool, though, just to be involved. Because they do a lot of, like, suggesting and things. So where like, you can kind of get lumped in with some other bands that sound similar and stuff. And
pushing that would be cool. This year, I really want to utilize YouTube a lot more, our YouTube channel. And I'm gonna invest in, like, every kind of GoPro thing that you can. And I'm going to make videos extreme for shows.
Sure.
Just
skydiving
for a while, man. The bathroom videos off limits.
Yeah, no bathroom videos. But I will do if you want. I'm gonna push somebody at Walmart and run with the GoPro on the chest where they're chasing me. Their security people are always out of shape. There's no way they'll be able to catch me.
That's true.
Yeah, I've seen all of them. I try not to go there, but
they're nice people, though.
If I could get 1 million views for pushing some old person, I mean, I'd hate to say I'd probably do it. I mean, it's 1 million views.
Yeah. What if you do run across that one guard that is in shape?
You're bumming.
Yeah, you get beat up by Walmart security, and that's a shitty day.
That's all that guy's got. Walmart, judo classes.
Yeah.
And oatmeal.
Yeah. And practices putting his batteries in his flashlight. Yeah. Just make sure he's fast enough if they start to get dull.
He's taking it out.
Yeah.
Then you'd be that lead singer of that band that got took out by...
Shit, we're going to go off chart real quick. Here's a perfect one. I had a buddy who was a security guard. We were about 17. He was probably 19 because he was a security guard. And
he was 19 because he was a security guard?
No, he was old enough to be one.
Oh, no, that's a nice... So that's an Ice Cube movie.
Shut up. He used to work nights, and he would cover this... it was called Aramark, I don't know, uniform store, something like that. And we would go there. We'd meet him. And we would go there, and we would put on different people's uniform, smoke pot in this building that he was supposed to be guarding. You know, he maced himself one night. We got all stoned, and he maced himself. He was fucking around with this pepper thing, totally had it backwards, and he's like, "Oh yeah," just right in his own face, all over and everything. And we were like, "Well, I gotta go, man." You know, he's standing over the water fountain, just like trying to help himself, and we just leave. Drive back home. Next day, he got fired. I thought that was the greatest thing ever, though. Well, not that my buddy got fired, but how stupid he was for macing himself.
That story was very different, but similar. It reminded me of a story. In high school, my buddy's mom, like, did, she worked, like, with these horses, therapeutic horsemanship stuff or whatever, and they had some kind of show going on or whatever it was. So we were like, at this horse stable thing, and there wasn't any horses, and there was just empty stables, and we end up locking my buddy Riley in one of the stalls, and we were like, you know, just throwing shit at him and stuff, and having fun, and then we like, me and my buddy Nick, we like appointed, and like we ran around the backside of the stall, and there was like a fire extinguisher like right there, and I pointed at Nick, and I'm like, we ended up grabbing that fire extinguisher, and we thought it was like one of those, just like a foam kind of ones.
Yeah, like, but it shot powder instead.
Yeah, and so it fills up this entire barn.
I've done it too. Just one, yeah, it looks like, yeah.
And Riley's like, so picture this, Riley's got his face against the horse stall, and he's like, I'm allergic to this shit! And he's like, I can't breathe anymore! And we're like just pissing ourselves laughing. We're like, this is the funniest thing. And like, so we used to do a lot of dumb stuff too when we were.
That's funny. The fire extinguisher things are always the best.
Yeah. But yeah, it just fills the. How fast it just filled this entire barn full of dust. Right. And it's like, whoops.
Sorry about that. We
were have, just... have you done any podcasts with any other guys that are on the bill?
Lee.
No.
Mike. Paul.
Paul, yeah.
Sorry. Mike, Paul, yeah. Phil.
We'll come with one of them. George, was, John, George. Paul.
Ringo.
That belch tasted like electronics. I don't know if I've been eating. If I've been eating VCRs lately or what, yeah. Like when you open up a new, you know, like a new electronic box, and you're like, oh, it's new. That's exactly what that belch was. That's weird. I wonder if I had a tape player last night. I'm not sure. Something weird about that.
Yeah, I had Brian and Paul and Keith Dickerson, and we talked about their reality show stuff they're doing, and they had we had Ken also who was filming it all, and that was a while back. So that one's on there. But yeah, I haven't talked to anybody else. I haven't talked to Pirate Signal, who's also on the bill with you guys. And Midnight Reveille, right?
Is that yep.
That's yep. Yeah, that's it.
Make sure I say
that. Definitely don't want to mess up that name. Them dudes are some players, though.
Yeah.
Oh, come to your house good. And very good musicians.
Lethal
very
Weapon kind musician. Of stuff. If you get their name wrong.
But I do have one scheduled with Nothing Set in Stone. So.
Cool.
So that'll become.
What do you think they're going to set in there?
I don't know.
If they have nothing set in their stone.
I mean.
It's a cool name.
Yeah.
It is.
They're gonna, like it. They gotta put something in
there. All of us have to have long names now. Everybody, the one name stuff is gone. Maybe, everybody maybe came up with all the good ones.
Maybe it'd be Growing Fat.
Is there a band called Puke? That would have been a cool name.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is.
Or Barf.
A punk band.
Yeah, yeah probably.
I think I saw somewhere there's a band called Fetal Abortions or something. So I'm sure
that.
Puke isn't
that's pretty metal
beyond band. Realm.
I think it'd be cool to have a band called Grandma's Panties.
No. Well, we talked about doing our little side project with Satchel of Richards.
Yeah, yeah. I always said Satchel of Richards would be a great name for a cover band because really it's just a fancy name for a bag of dicks.
Yeah.
But it looked great on T-shirts. Just have everybody's head sticking up out of like some bag, you know, like just that. It's awesome. But make a wrinkled looking like testicle wrinkled. Bag, but it has yeah. like a strap and everything.
That's a Crown Royal, dude.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I've actually put those around. You can't think of anything else to do with them.
Wasn't that Rodney? Yeah, wishing his ball sack looked like a Crown Royal bag, all like, purple and velvety.
Yeah, I got my name on the side. You know,
screaming semen.
Yeah, that was on a boat though.
Oh, it was a boat.
Yeah, I found that on a boat.
Always talking about semen.
No.
Awkward.
All right. So where else to go now? you were talking to Divine Sorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I had those guys on. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're really cool dads, man.
I hadn't seen them in a while, but I like those guys, though. They're good.
Did you go to the Ace show?
No, I didn't make it that night.
I did. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, Divine Sorrow sounded better than Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they're different musically, but I mean, I was more impressed
Great. Now we're going to have Ace Frehley come.
I don't care. I don't care. They sounded better than he did.
Divine Sorrow are very good.
Yeah, they're very, awesome. They're very tight. They're good writers. They're fun guys, and they, you know, they don't bring egos to the table. And that's kind of the only people we'll work with is people that don't bring egos to the table. You know, I'm cool if you want to wear a leather vest, but you know, don't judge me for not. You know, I don't think everybody needs leather pants to be a rock star.
Right.
Really. If you want to wear that, that's
unless you're Axl Rose.
Yeah.
There, it is funny how like there's like the
Axl Rose wears leather pants.
The uniform.
Yeah, like I mean the whole. You know how there's. I just saw somebody shared a thing on Facebook and made me laugh because it was like how to know you're in a metalcore band or something like that. And it was like, you know, you got to have the tattoos and you got to, or you know, it was just going on. Like it was like, and you got to like, you know, say fuck and all this stuff. Yeah. So everybody knows you're badass or something like that. And
yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was just. There's so many different stereotype kind of things that people like. And like, if you go to a rock show, usually you're gonna see those guys that are around, and they're all gonna fall in that you know mold of what is supposed to be a rock guy,
yeah,
or whatever and stuff. Yeah. And like,
well, I have huge lists of them. Yeah. But you know, the great part is that. I you don't need that. You prove yourself at the end. I mean, the greatest part is that, you know, we just do this because we love making music and having fun. But the, you know, we just are four regular dudes. Oh, we try to, you know, wear a nice shirt or a nice pair of pants. But I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah,
the shirt's clean.
You know,
that's why I like musicians like, you know, Sammy. You know, Sammy.
Tom He's a little Pet, lazy, Tom though. Petty. He's just all PJs, though.
Tom Petty. Many of the more grateful, you know, they know where they came from.
Yeah.
You know. And
but I would like to all wear matching gold sparkling so suits, cool you know.
Those
what, with the ruffles?
No ruffles. Like some kind of 70s, like, gold suits, you know.
Like Temptations.
Like where we could be like the
High
rubber
waters?
Band.
High
like waters? The rubber band man guys. Okay. You know. I don't mind stuff like that one time, you know.
Get some.
I come from the Soundgarden, Stone Temple Pilot, Pearl Jam era, where like it was shorts with boots. If you want to talk about terrible style, so I'm in between.
With flannel.
I'm not. Yeah, the flannel.
Flannel
shirt.
Well, flannel pants with shorts on. Yeah. And then Doc Martens.
You came out of the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I was born in the 80s and raised in the 90s.
It's funny,
then there was a little bit going on around 2000, 2010.
You know. Now.
But it wasn't.
Now.
As far as the music scene goes, you know, back in the 90s, it was just.
But it went through the change, though, with like Marilyn Manson, you know, where everybody, which was great. I mean, he gave everybody who didn't feel accepted a place to be if you felt like wearing makeup.
What was the goth kid jeans that.
Jinkos?
Jinkos.
See, no, those were goth. Skater. Like, I wore Jinko pipes.
Jinkos were skater ones.
I'm so sorry.
There was you got to remember. Like, with all the belts and hooks on them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those were the guys that you can look up these videos. I don't know if this is real or not, but it shows, like, these goth-type kids dancing to this weird music with, like, glow sticks and, like, light-up stuff, and they don't even know how to move to a beat. But they're, like, they have whips and chains and stuff on and, like, face masks and stuff, and I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know what it really was.
You went to a show like this?
No. It was on Facebook. It was one of those. It said when scary goth kids take over your neighborhood.
We're growing up, dude. It was parachute pants.
Yeah.
Not for me, it wasn't.
You guys just sat around and just listened to the radio, right, for the Howdy Doody show?
Cassettes.
Yeah.
8-tracks.
Whenever you
eight
said
tracks
you were
just ended.
He said he was listening to the record on the way here, and I was going to say, man, you must have had a lot of skipping with that needle.
Yeah.
I would have loved.
I
would have loved to have made. There's actually
vinyl
is making a big comeback.
You know,
with a lot
selling,
of players.
They're selling.
They got them at freaking Barnes and Noble, for God's sake.
I just went to Nashville and went to Third Man Records, Jack White's place, and I mean, there's a lot of people selling records there.
Went over to Jack's place.
I said Jack White's place. What am I supposed to say?
I'm just fucking with you, man.
No,
carry on. That's your story.
I just got a record in the mail today. So, I mean, that's...
Anita Baker.
So do you
Which
have...
Which one did you get in the mail?
It's Hands and Feet.
That guy you just did there.
Yeah, I had him on the show this week. I bought his record. He put it out on vinyl and digital only, and
that's cool.
So I bought his vinyl. Yeah.
So do you have an old school real deal turntable, or you got a newer USB type one?
No, I have two. I have a USB one also, but I have an old console. Real big.
Got the turntable, the big speakers, like in your great grandma's house, and put the 8-track.
It's got the tuner, 8-track, and record or turntable, and it's got the two lids that open up there, and then
I was in a music reunion in O'Fallon a couple months ago, and there was a younger, I mean, they might have been 20, 21, something like that, in there to buy a used turntable. And I was just laughing my ass off listening to this guy explain
how to use it,
how to use a turntable. Yeah, yeah. And I'm going, I knew how to use one, you know what I mean? That's all we had.
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew how to use one when, you know, I was a little kid. I'd put on my little Pinocchio records and stuff. I mean, that kind of stuff was around. Even, like, it taught you that. You know what I mean?
Were you playing that the other day?
Yeah! I use the Pinocchio one all the time, dude. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are, you know?
But by the same token, there's 21-year-olds that got to show me how to use my smartphones.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, my wife, she's the one that helps me out on a lot of computer stuff. I mean, I can do a lot of stuff, but then there's little things that you'd think I'd remember how to do, and I have not a clue. I'll be like, babe!
She puts your little shortcuts to your porn sites and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. She has to
show me.
I told you before, I don't need porn. You have YouTube. You just type in hot dancing. It's all you need to do. It's not. There's not even nudity. It's just hot chicks cam dancing. That's it. You don't even need nudity. I'm almost 40. You don't need nudity anymore. You need mystery.
Almost 40?
Almost 40.
What the hell? It's a big deal.
I just didn't know that.
I just didn't know that.
That's too bad. Now you do.
Now I do.
Yeah. We're going to write songs together. We should throw everything out there, you know.
Wait a minute. I missed something. What are we talking about throwing out there?
I don't know.
About being almost 40.
Almost 40 was gone a long time ago.
Yep. Do you remember the movie Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Does it feel at all weird to finally meet Wade Garrett? The double douche.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you, I thought about this because we were talking about band shirts to wear. I just want you to wear a shirt. I'll have John make it, and I just wanted to say Ram Tough. And just see if any motherfucker gets it at the show at all. You know, because you always got your hair down, so it always looks just like what he always pinned it up right before he kicked somebody's ass, you know. So,
and pretty cool dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beef.
Yeah.
What's up, dinner?
I would love to just pay Sam Elliott to come to our shows and just say random things.
Sure.
Or just get him to come here and record random.
Just have him read your lyrics.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sam Elliott.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Sam Elliott.
Hashtag definitely. Sam Elliott.
Or what about a shirt with Patrick Swayze on it that just said Real Ghost?
Yeah.
Would that be cool? I mean, it would be. I mean, it's past time now. I mean, we all respect that he's
too
gone,
soon,
right?
Too
it's
Randy's
not too
soon.
It's
too soon. What difference saying?
Yeah, I have a guy who has a t-shirt company who makes our band shirts. But he, anytime I call him, I have an idea for a shirt and he'll make it. Me and my wife go to Naughty Graw every year. Yeah, I had to make this one where the guitar on it says, just let me put the tip in, you know? But anyway, I have one that says, your mom's breast milk tastes like shit. I'll wear that to a show. I have one that says, vaginas cause naps. I mean, these are all true statements. You know, it's not like I'm lying to anybody, you know? And we went to Naughty Girl with it, and everybody wanted to take pictures with me. They thought that was good, which is good. I mean, I'm going to give that t-shirt away at the next show. And the dude with the meat, that's no bullshit. I got three of those pictures that are going. I'm going to start the bidding at like $50 a piece. Anybody want their framed, nice pictures of dudes with meat? There's tomatoes and some mayonnaise and stuff in there. It's some kind of advertisement picture if you've seen the video, you know.
Yeah. I went on my bachelor party float a year ago, and
that's different. A bachelor party float.
Cool. With a bunch of my buddies, we went floating down the Hoosaw, and we had a cabin for the weekend, and got pretty wild. But
what are the ladies of the night like down there around Hoosaw?
I mean, you know, there's some interesting people down there. Yeah.
Didn't they film Deliverance down there?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, go ahead.
But I floated the river sometimes I was in a raft, sometimes I was just on my own, and I bought this, like, inner tube with these two big fake boobs on the front. And so I was pretty much floating down the river in that, and, like, same kind of thing. Like, everybody sees me, and they're like, this is hilarious. We want to take a picture with you. And then I'm like, all right, tag me on Facebook. And, like, they're like, we don't know who you are. And I'm like, oh, no.
It's a boob tube.
Yeah.
Welcome to boob tube.
I think everybody around this area has a Who's Off story.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
who's on first?
May not want to talk about it, but they got a who's on story.
The crazy is I ran into a friend of mine who lives in Columbia. I ran into him down there on that river, and it's like, it's weird when you drive, like, you know, 2 hours away from home and you run into people you know still, and it's like, this is a small world, you know?
Yeah.
So October 10th.
It's going down.
Pops Night.
Yeah, Pops Nightclub. We Are United presents Divide the Empire.
Yeah. Co to the Co. Really good lineup, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe it's a really good lineup of bands.
Yeah, when Joe sent me a message with the lineup or something, I think, a while back, and I was just like, man, that's a nice bill.
This
would be a good party.
I mean, at the very least, it's interesting to see what other artists are creating, you know, and I find that's what I find interesting. I like to see these other bands and listen to their music and their style, and you know,
we're having our own art fair,
and we're because they're doing the same things we are.
Yeah,
it was important to us to kind of have some diversity in that set, you know, or in the the lineup that night. Excuse me, you know, Midnight Reveille, great rock blues, man, they bring it through. They're top notch.
Yeah,
Divine Sorrow, they're.
Yeah,
they're champs. You know?
Yeah, if you like original music, you know who Divine Sorrow is.
Mm-hmm. Pirate Signal, I've heard a lot of good things, man. I've been hearing their name around a little bit. I haven't personally got to catch them.
Yeah, you saw them in the show.
Keith saw them and met them and hooked up with them, and that's how we brought them in, and we're excited to do a gig with them. And then Nothing Set in Stone, we had a little lineup change, and they jumped on.
Very cool that they did that.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I think we hadn't played with them since Just Bills and, like, I want to say 2013.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. The guys, they're young. They carry themselves professionally. You know,
yeah, they do real good.
Yeah. What?
And my buddy from Triple Jams Production, he's doing the lights, and he does such a great job on lighting. And I asked him to come in. I used to work. I'll work shows with him every once in a while, and he had got us to play with a couple national acts that rolled through town. So I've definitely kept him a big part of the circle. You never know when he can just drop in and do a really quick lighting rig. You know, he does all the Think Floyd, like a tribute to Pink Floyd shows and stuff like that. So he has big, gigantic lighting rigs, and then one that he could set up in like an hour and still put on this huge show. So,
and it really does make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huge, huge difference.
I kind of talked for a moment before recording and about Fivefold, and I just saw those guys... They headlined Pops a little while back for Ink Spot showcase thing, and then they played out at Ink Spot. But they've added a lighting guy to their set, and it's just like, I mean, you know, it's 9-day difference. Like, I mean, they've always sounded great, but when you add that all that lighting and everything and smoke and all the stuff, it makes it a show. And and it's a lot of fun to see, and you know, just stepping up their game like that. And,
yep, I mean, and it really is a level thing. I mean, it takes years. I mean, lots of people are talented. There's talent all over the place. You could turn the corner and find this talented person playing guitar and singing in front of quick.
Talented 12-year-old.
But what else are you bringing to the table that's different than the guy before you? And I think that's kind of where we're at. You know, we love playing. We love doing all that. I'm not going to say we've perfected our music by any means because we change it all the time. But we're good enough as a team that we can play. We know we can play a really great set. So now it's working on, you know, getting some lights, maybe dressing a little better, trying to, you know, go to that next, maybe not next level, but just bring a little bit more of the show, you know, or, you know, goofiness.
Or just be ourselves.
Yeah,
but I mean, that still is being yourself, but at the same time, you're just adding a little bit more element, you know.
Right. And we can't say enough for the stuff that Coco's done behind the scenes, man, and just
he's a hard worker
to get us a Saturday night at Pops. for a local show, you know what I mean? It's a local CD release. That's huge right there. Yeah. And Rich at Pops. And, you know, I've been talking to Coco, you know, since we started doing this thing, we decided to ask him to help us out. And, you know, got us hooked up with you, and he's just doing all the stuff that we don't know how to do yet or don't care to do.
And as you know, the more people of us doing whatever aspect, whether it's sound or what you're doing or what we're doing, the more people you get into that scene, the better, the bigger it gets.
And Coco's huge with the We Are United, just promoting music community. It don't matter what style you play, just whatever. If you're positive and you want to play your music and hang out, man, that's what it's all about.
You know, and it's strange too.
We've done so many shows where we'd be on a bill with five other bands, and maybe one of the other bands will even talk to you. You know what I mean?
So
guarded, like you're trying to take something from them. You know, it's like
it's not supposed to be like that at all.
Because on the other hand, there's been a lot that have been really cool.
Absolutely.
They're just a total of it, and like we are.
Trying to become the best T-shirt salesman that you possibly can. It's hard work, you know.
I feel, you ever listen to Head PE? I feel like Jared, I feel like that's his thing, man. Like, he's become a great T-shirt salesman because they rock the stage, but he sits out there and he meets everybody, takes your picture, and he sells all those shirts. They always got a new batch of shirts for every time they're in town, and they're... But, I mean, that's where it's gotten to the point. Nobody's really buying CDs a whole lot. You're buying shirts. But either way, it's $20 and putting your gas tank to get you the next show and stuff.
Well, that's what we've been doing. He's been working hard to change our designs. We have five different kinds of shirts now.
We got a bunch more.
We've printed five different. Yeah, we've printed five different kinds of shirts. So, I mean, we have at any given time different ones. But I think that's kind of been a good key point for selling them is that we'll get 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever of one. And when those are gone, that's kind of it. You know, unless you want to special order it through us or something. But then we come out with one with a different logo or a different design.
And the designs get better as you...
Yeah, so then you can tell which fans have been with you since the beginning. You know, if they've got one that's got the hole in the armpit in it and it's like just completely falling apart, you're like, man, you've been with us since the beginning, you know?
The availability is going to change here soon with the website. Once we get the store up and going, we're going to have a lot of designs up there that you may not even be able to find at a show, you know what I mean?
You might be able to.
You just say, hey, I want one, and we'll work, you know, we'll have it made for you.
I mean, like the designs, like, for example, the back rest with.
Yeah, Mr. Joe designed that for our band.
Joe designed all that. You know, the album cover, you see, you know, the creativity, and when you have all the lights out, that thing really flashed.
We all had a vision, and Joe brought it to life, so that was cool. We said we wanted, like, an old-looking side of a house or something, you know.
That's my house.
Yeah.
What are you doing over my house?
That's your forehead.
I'm a creeper.
That's a very extreme close-up of your forehead.
Is your skin dry and cranky so bad that it looks like the side of a house? Then call us now.
It'd be cool to find.
We sell protein lotion.
Find our shirts at Goodwill too.
Oh yeah, well I said a buddy of mine sent me a message on my phone one day with a band that I was in like 2009. And it was our CD was at a yard sale for 50 cents. And I said, I mean, we made it. Like, we have arrived, you know. Yeah. I have a couple CDs in vintage vinyl that have been there since 2009, and they're still $13.99. Like, no one's ever going to buy them.
But once you see them in a garage sale, you know that it's been
circulated. Yeah, it's circulated, and that's what it's all about, you know. You ever followed, when you get one of them dollars that says follow George Washington and see where he's been? You ever done it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like you'd follow. Well, I mean, I know I did. You know, 10 years ago, or whatever. You follow it. Just go to that website and see where he's been. And I mean, 2 weeks ago, that dollar was in New Hampshire or something. And all of a sudden, it's worked.
They have a website.
They show exactly which strip club every dollar.
Yeah. It shows its transaction.
Coco's butter can.
Yeah, it used to. Yeah.
Sheboygan.
It puts its lotion on its skin.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how the whole thing worked, but I just thought that whole thing would be cool.
That is.
Yeah, same kind of...
Yeah.
You never know where your CD could end up, you know?
In a strip club.
I'm trying to make it a good one.
You might be peeing off some dock somewhere and see your CD float by in the water, you know? And then you're like, yep.
Roasted Terry Turkey.
Yeah. Oh, I got to say that. I got to call him out. He goes, man, I really like that Rosetteri chicken. And I go, what the fuck are you talking about, Rosetteri chicken? I don't even know what the hell is like a special spice you put on it. Oh, I just like it. That Rosetteri chicken is awesome. Finally figured out that he was saying rotisserie. Rosetteri. What the hell is that?
I make up my own word.
Yeah, he takes a word that's a complete normal word, fucks it up, and confuses me. Like, here I feel educated and everything. He comes to me with, what'd you call it again? Rosetteri?
Yeah.
And I was like, I have not a clue what you're talking about. It's good chicken. It's Rosetteri chicken. I mean, it took me a while. And I was like, man, did I just get, it's like stumping the buoy there. You know?
I'm not a good speller.
It's not a good speller. You weren't spelling it. Just say that you can't speak English. When people ask you questions, you just go, no, hablo inglés.
I speak me.
No, speak any English. That's what you got to say. Oh, give God, them the bounty bar talk and this kind of thing. You know?
there's a name on that on the CD that...
Yeah, Miefenfurter.
Miefenfurter, and that's all Joe.
Well, it's not really. That's you.
That's you.
Yeah, that's Keith.
I just knew it on there for you.
Yeah.
We knew it was you.
Yeah.
And then he has to look it up afterwards. We give him this name a long time ago. He goes with it the whole time. Joe asks him, hey, how do you want your name on the record? He straight up says, Keith, Miefen, whatever you call me. Thurnal, whatever.
Miefenfurter.
Yeah, Miefenfurter. And then he goes and looks it up after it's done being printed to make sure it's not a bad word in German. He's like, well, what if it meant like jack off in Russian or something? I was like, I don't think that it does.
What did it mean?
If they say Miefenfurter when you're going to touch yourself, it's not that's
a word,
scary.
It's not a word.
No, well, it's not a word.
It looked German to me.
Oh, yeah. It looked German to me. Funny, he didn't look Jewish. What is that, Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Funny, didn't look Jewish.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
I'm a Mog. I'm my own best friend.
That's such a great movie.
It is.
Don't Know Anything is the single, right?
Right now, yeah, it's the third release. Yeah, we've released three off of this one.
Okay.
Just to try and get a ball rolling, see if anybody cares of what's going on.
I wrote down because I didn't want to mess up anything, but I wrote down that I'd like to Don't Know Anything.
Cool.
That one was a rocker. I liked Glimpse a lot. I thought it had a cool little guitar riff kind of thing going on in there.
Oh. Is it the whoop?
Yeah, it's different. It's like
he wanted to take the whoop.
It was an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident.
It's just my fingers plays. It's just his finger.
Yeah, whenever I was going to the next chord, it would do that, and I was trying to stop doing that at the studio, and then our engineer was just like, "Don't stop doing that. That sounds cool."
I'm kind of fond of Glimpse myself.
Yeah,
I enjoy. I think it's a song that kind of grows on you. It's not one that really jumps off the page. You know, kind of like Don't Know Anything, but. If you listen to it, you're like, you know what? That's a really good song. I like that song.
Yeah, it's a little more mellow than kind of the other end of the spectrum of Don't Know Anything.
Yeah.
And so I like that. I also really liked Habitual. I liked with the cello playing on it.
Yeah, that makes that song.
Yeah.
And it was Dave Arado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminded me, like having the strings, it reminded me like of like Hurt.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay.
I was just thinking that.
He plays a lot of that violin on
stuff.
Jay Lord.
Yeah.
Love lingered on the frustration.
You said earlier that you grew up in the grunge era of Pearl Jam, and when I listened to Don't Know Anything, I could hear like a lot of Pearl Jam sort of influence, especially like in your vocals. Like there's some of that kind of going on there.
Yeah, definitely.
I really like the lyrics and the vocal harmony on that. What Randy does on there, kind of pulls me into the song.
That
song, when I first brought it to the table, I didn't think it was going to... we said before that we weren't going to put any kind of stop on any kind of song. If it was light, if it was heavy, if it was medium, it could all make the record because... People are going to like songs.
But it's got to have the hook.
Yeah, people are going to like songs individually. Yeah, if it's a good song, then screw it. Who cares what genre it fits into? It's going to go on a record, you know? So, that Don't Know Anything was one that was blues. It's a bluesy riff, so...
Well, to tell the story behind it.
I used to work with this guy. The lyrics all are about this guy I used to work with. I work in a custom closet and glass factory. And
shout him out.
And no. Illinois Closet Concepts is the company I worked for.
I've been there for almost
17 years I've been there. But anyway, worked with this guy for, I don't know, I guess he was there about 5 years, and I had to work with him. We partner up a bunch because, you know, you're carrying big pieces of glass and heavy cabinets, so usually got help with you. But this guy was always so miserable. Like, every day he would complain about something. And, you know, we've all been there, you know, where we're just Mr. Complainer. But I'm at a different point in my life where I'm trying to look at the lighter side of things, you know, not trying to get all bummed out about, you know, dumb shit, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess when you start to work with somebody that does that every day, it starts to kind of weigh on you, you know. And I'd give him advice, and he'd be like, man, that's good advice. And then he totally wouldn't do any of it, you know. He was like 52, 53 years old and got fired because he would wig out at job sites and yell cuss words and when things wouldn't go right, you know. And I always tell him to lighten up, you know. But he really did not know anything. Like, he would he just don't know anything. So that's where that whole idea came from, you know. The opening lyrics of "I heard you talking trash, you tried to lie," you know. It started because I would hear him say terrible things, and then when you confronted him about it, he's like, I didn't say that. And you just heard it. Like, I heard it. I was there. You know, and then he would deny it. That he, you know, it was always hate towards, like, races and religions and government. Was everything, you know. So it was just really, it made it miserable. So I told my boss, I was like, man, you gotta get rid of this guy. I hate to be that guy. Either you're gonna have to have him work with somebody else because I can't do it.
Now he just found out that you got him fired.
Yeah.
There you go. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, whatever. No, he got himself. I mean, he had gotten reprimanded 3-4 different times and got write-ups and stuff like that.
Too late. Back up, man. Might as well trudge on through.
Yeah. But that's where the concept for don't know anything came from, was, you know, this just miserable guy that I worked with.
Yeah. I think I worked with that same guy, or there's just that guy at every job.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts of, like, office space. Like, if you ever worked in, like, an office, like, all those people are in your office.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
I believe you have my statement.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
All those people,
I have that guy.
Are real people. And it's, but yeah, I worked with this guy. And he's just a miserable human being. I don't know, like, why, you know. Never, you know, just, we had a good time sometimes, but, like, it would just be, you know, I'd be coming with a piss poor attitude about a lot of stuff, and is always trying to, you know, complain about whatever it is, and it's just like, it gets old here.
Did you notice it ruining your day ever?
For sure, yeah. I got to the point where I would come in, I'd put my headphones in before I even got there.
Just to
walk in, and I'd walk right down to my area. I'm like, leave me alone, don't talk to me.
Because
if I got to talking to them, and then, like, of course, and then it led to, like, them to start talking about me later, and then they're like, oh, you don't want to hang out, there's no, you know, like, that kind of stuff, you know. I'm like,
You gave me play. Yeah, you know, and don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy, he's a nice, on the outside, on the shell, seems like a nice person, but he gives you so much material to go off of. But yeah, that was probably the only inspired.
Well, you can write a song off of it, then, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would say that was probably, but it's almost like that song's supposed to be almost like
royalties.
No, but the song actually is like a conversation between the two. It was things I would tell him, and then, you know, the chorus of, you know, I won't be the one to tell you anything that you want to hear because you don't know anything, you know, and that's just kind of, because I'm not going to continue to give advice if it means nothing.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a fun song. Our engineer, I saw him bobbing his head, was the first one he took a video of and posted it on their Facebook page, and I really thought it wasn't the most technical riff, it wasn't the best lyrics, it wasn't the overall the best drums or whatever, as far as the writing end of it. It was probably the most generic song on the record, but it had the most feel of straight rock and roll, you know, what everybody has felt before, of an AC/DC song or whatever it may be, you know.
And I think it's one of those songs that you like, those songs that people can relate to, and anybody can relate, take that song and relate it into their life, just like you did.
Yeah.
Your little story about it, you know.
Yeah.
That was the last one we recorded.
Yeah, it was. It was the last one we recorded for the CD.
It's a fun
song.
Yeah. It's a great, great live song.
Yeah.
It's fun to play live. People really get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, hours of being locked away listening to Pearl Jam probably was some of the reasons why I found my tone, I'm sure. Yeah. All my screams came from Cornell or Maynard trying to mock what he did. And then,
And I don't know where Glimpse came from. I was thinking that the other day. I think you brought that, I think, one day.
I like the drums on it, too. What do you have, like a big mallets or whatever?
Some kind of effect. He was using, like,
on
a delay.
On Glimpse.
Start,
At the beginning.
It's all drum effects.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Whatever he was using on the...
Yeah, I like on that song how we all came in, you know. Keith comes in with his, Randy comes in with his guitar for two measures, and then Joe and I hit it right there, and then here comes the vocals. Yeah. I really like the way that song's written.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're real big parts of thinking, like, cool intros and outros. I mean, that's what
Joe... Yeah, especially when you have the studio with you this time, you know. Yeah. Because you can put a little bit, hey, could you try this? Hey, could you do this? You know?
Yeah.
A lot of it, it was really cool to be able to just let Brian do his job, you know, the engineer do his job. Oh, we just track it and say, make it.
I'll let you guys listen to this, see what you think, you know? And a lot of times it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know?
Yeah, they say, you know, and all of us are, you know, I mean, just because we played music didn't mean that we knew anything about the studio aspect of it. And you learn as you go.
Yeah,
I did.
But, you know, those guys. A lot of times the reason why your CD doesn't sound good is because you're putting too much of your own opinion on it instead of letting somebody else put their own ear on it and kind of get you. So if you're already good at what you do, let somebody else capture it and do all the work and let that record come out. And if you look at all the great records that have ever come out, it was people who did that. They went into a studio with a pro and let him do everything and his job, and that's why
the record was good. Because there's a lot of stuff out there now that is, in my opinion, way too sterile.
I'm not doing anything from today's era. Saying, like, you know, let's just
go
say Sound
studio,
City.
Go in the studio, play the shit.
Yeah,
I kind of like that. The band gets in there and jams, plays.
Yeah, you play, and if you're good, your CD's good. If you're not good, then we can't. You know, our first engineer used to say, he would charge us a minimum price, which was great, and you could be there all day. And he said, "I want to tell you."
Heroin addict, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was like a meth guy or something like that. He would disappear for a little while, come back shaking, and then he would record us real good though. He ate a lot of ice cream and Starbursts. It was weird. And Coca Cola.
Yeah, a good story.
You fucking 12 pack of Coca Cola in a 6-hour session. You're like, man, your kidneys have got to be hurting. But
we get there for a time session, and
he wouldn't be there.
Well, no, he'd
be
playing a game.
Playing in the middle of the floor.
He'd be playing a
pick
game.
Poop up, man. You get dogs in the middle of the floor. You ain't gonna pick it up. You got people.
You'd be playing Call of Duty for 2 hours until. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, I'm trying to finish up this game of Call of Duty real quick before I record you guys. It's like, cool. It's like, man, are you serious?
It's okay. We recorded in a storage unit before, so
yeah.
We've done what we've had to do. We've paid our dues.
Well,
we're going to try to get Eddie Vedder on Volume 2 with
nice.
Us.
Yeah.
At least for one song. Like a Hunger Strike type thing.
I don't think we can afford to pay that bill.
We're just going to ask him. We're going to pay him anything. The CD has to go somewhere, you know?
We got this triangle part.
But as for the way the CD sounds, we all were inspired by Throwing Copper. So we kind of wanted to...
A live record.
Feel.
It's got a cool feel to it.
Yeah, we were trying to do the record more like a, like live. Have that overall sound like that.
Yeah.
Sonically.
It's a good album.
It's a great record, yeah.
We're just trying to be ourselves and not try to sound like anybody else out there right now.
Sure. Yeah, well, I missed Ed was in town a little bit ago.
Old Rock House, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was Blueberry Hill last.
Oh, yeah, Old Rock House was the time before.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been, I wanted to go, it was like an unplugged set.
Have you heard them with
that?
When I was coming in, they just played on the Viper. They played, was that Big Sky?
Have you heard live with their new singer? Chris Shin, man, it's good. He was in a band called Unified Theory, and Live just came out with a new record called The Turn, and it's phenomenal. It's a great record. Yeah. And they recorded it at the same... You ever heard of The Gracious Few? You know who Candlebox is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Candlebox is in a couple different projects. Kevin Martin from Candlebox is in, like, The Gracious Few, Le Projet, The Infinite Staircase with Zach Wilde. And they have a studio that's owned by... is his name Chris Taylor, or is it Chad Taylor from Live? Chad Taylor, isn't it? I think it's Chad.
Right. That sounds right.
But he owns the studio, and that's he has the studio and has all these musicians just come by and record. You know, they can have it for a whole month or whatever. And they recorded with the same engineers that did Throwing Copper, just did their new record as well. Nice. So it's pretty neat, you know, to hear. You know, everybody acts like you have to have Pro Tools 11 and all that to put out a good record, but all the greats that came out in the 90s and all that were long before Pro Tools, you know. So, I mean, these were phenomenal records then, so why can't we still just make them that way now?
Sure.
You know,
what is it? Chris Lord-Alge, who did Throwing Copper, engineered and produced it. He said that around 90% of what you hear on that record was first take. They just came in. They knew their shit. They came in and played it. You know, a couple of little overdubs here or there. You know what I mean? And did some backing stuff.
Well, they had already had like 700 or 800 shows under their belt before they even recorded Mental Jewelry.
I'm ready for a new Metallica album.
Really?
Yeah, I want to hear.
It's going to be unload. It's going to be unload this time, right? No, they have load, reload. They're going to unload, dropping loads. You know, Metallica comes out with everything.
Reload and load.
Dropping loads all over your nerdy face.
Those albums get wonked.
That's Metallica.
I'm ready for a new Metallica album.
Are you?
Some kind of monster.
Yeah. I wonder if he yells at his kids like that. Put that down on him.
Yeah.
Just yells at him about stuff. Pick up your Legos.
Like Robert Trio.
Or if he stubs it,
Trujillo. He's got a documentary I'm looking forward to about a bass player from the 70s, 80s. Jaco Pastorius. So that's going to be pretty interesting. I mean, that's just coming out. I just read about that the other day. Huh. I'm ready to see that.
I just had Carl Grable on the show from The Urge, and he was he credited him as a big influence of his.
Yeah. So I can't remember the name of the band that he was in. Something Weather.
Dead Weather?
Dead Weather.
Dead Weather, but it's that it was. They got him. He's just an excellent bass player. A lot of people look towards him.
I guess we'll. You guys want to play live or throw some tracks on? Or
sure, whatever works better for that.
Whatever you want. We can do whatever you want. Do an acoustic song.
We can play
I'd love that.
Play live and then play somewhere.
Grab your guitar.
Get your guitar. You said you want to do bridges?
Yeah, I'll do whatever. Yeah.
Cut that you won't let our souls burn.
right, so that was Bridges.
Yeah.
Previously unreleased, a Rock Paper Podcast exclusive, is it?
Exclusive. Yes.
This will be the only place that you'll be able to hear that version of that song for a while.
Yeah.
Next album, I'm going to put it on the next album. Yep. This show on October 10th is going to help pay for it.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah, come out October 10th. Pops, We Are United presents Divide the Empire with special guest Divine Sorrow.
Yep. Nothing Set in Stone, Midnight Reveille, yeah. And Pirate Signal.
Pirate Signal.
And the doors are at 6:30.
Doors are at 6. Yeah. Show's at 6:30.
Yeah, show'll start around 6:30, and tickets are $7 if you get them from us and the bands. If you come to the door, it's $8. So if you want to save a dollar, get a hold of us.
Yeah.
And I think some of them are actually running $5 tickets, too.
Yeah, some of them might be.
Midnight Reveille selling for $5. So if you want to get a super discount, hit the guys up.
And I think we've talked about it. Have we put a price on what we're going to do, our record that night?
That evening you'll be able to get our CD. It'll be the first night it'll be available, and we'll be able to get it for $5 that night.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so CD release party, and you'll be able to get the CD for $5 that evening.
Nice.
Because you paid to come see us, and that is important enough.
Yeah.
So.
And, that's going to be a good party.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to wait to have any alcohol until after we play, and then anybody that wants to do shots, bring it. Because I plan on doing some liver testing that evening. I have to test it and make sure that it's good. It's been a while since I've put it through any kind of tests. You know, I haven't had a CD release party in 3 years now, so it's been a while since I've had a good time.
Your last one was pretty epic.
And Nikki, his wife, will be driving him home.
The last CD party was pretty epic. Our last CD release party was with Great White. So we got to play with Jack Russell from Jack Russell's Great White, which is Great White.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to play a show with him after I had poisoned sumac all over my face and then inhaled it. So I had a huge tomato-shaped face, and my eyes were almost swollen shut, but I got to play with Great White. So it was super cool, except for the video. It's kind of scary. If you remember the original Ninja Turtles movie, it was very similar to Raphael. I came across a broken jaw with four baby turtles. I gave them all names. Sorry, I had to go off. Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Raphael. Practically in the art of ninja. What are you got me all off on a tangent for?
All right.
Yeah, I think we had that Rob Boyer and them from Conquest on that Great White show.
Yeah, Conquest was show. That was fun times. Yeah. Cool. And so did what was the guy? Michael Henry's band.
Anger Child.
I don't know why I forget that name, but yeah, they played with us too. It was fun times.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Good times and great oldies.
Yeah, good times and great oldies.
But that was then. This is now.
This is the now.
So we got a new lineup this time.
Hanging out with the Rock Paper Podcast. Well, we want to thank you for coming to our jam space, man, and spending a few hours with us.
Yeah, it was kind of serial killerish there at the beginning, wasn't it? You had to follow me down this road.
Yeah, sure. It's a little,
take you to the back of a building.
Come into our doctor's office.
Follow me.
We give exams here.
I did one where with these guys, and I didn't know them before, similar situation, and they invited me into their basement, and I was like, all right, well, let's hope this goes well. And it was one of my favorites, so it's like...
It puts its lotion on its skin! You know? I heard you! I'm looking for the new Auto Trader!
But, I've met a lot of people that way through doing this, and everything's been great so far. So far.
Yeah. He's pulled over already! He can't pull over any further!
That's a wrap.
Every day of the world, working hard to give all you've got. out in the air. Time we changed all the time to be something at what cost. Can we try to?